Hello, all you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, we hope you stay glued to kptz.org. Our website is more than a way to listen to today's offerings. For example, you can find the biographies of all our hosts and DJs. You can look up happenings around town at the calendar. In fact, you can listen to a lot of our shows as podcasts. Much of the original programming on KPTZ is available as a podcast. Double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show as well as some earlier ones. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who was that couple arguing loudly in front of the Haller Fountain the other night? Perhaps they disagreed about a movie at the Rose. And who were those two little kids standing quietly near an empty pickup at Carl's? Where were their parents? Then there's the portly gentleman wearing what looks like custom-made leathers, parking his motorcycle by the Bishop. Who is he in real life when he's not pretending to be a motorcycle baddie? He's probably a dentist or an accountant. This show, Our Town, profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. We talk with people who make up the eclectic mix around these parts. We talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otters, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is a man who's well known around town, the talented artist Michael Hare. Many of you are already wearing t-shirts and sweatshirts that feature his art. He's the creator of the poster for last year's 40th anniversary of the Wooden Boat Festival. That means a lot of you are wearing the t-shirt with his painting of boats, docks, and the lovely old buildings downtown. Michael also created the poster for the 2003 Wooden Boat Festival. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hi, Marianne.
I always like to start at the beginning. Were you born and bred in Port Townsend?
No, not at all. I was born in Ephrata, Washington, and then lived in Quincy because Quincy didn't have a hospital. So I was born in Ephrata.
I see. Okay, and where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school. Eventually, my parents ended up in Enumclaw, so that's where I graduated from high school, Enumclaw High School.
Okay, high school is often a very formative period for people, and one thing high school kids do to each other is they lump them in groups. Where would you say your peers thought you were? Were you a geek? Were you a jock? Were you a whatever? What were you?
Well, I was into sports. I was a jock. I was the president of the Letterman's Club. So, I mean, I was pretty good size then. So it was always football or wrestling or track. And then I was an artist, mainly what I did. That's my best grades were in art and history. So I was the jock artist, I guess.
That's an interesting mix. Well, yeah. Sometimes those are polar opposite.
Yeah, I used to have a teacher, my history teacher, was also my football coach, and he would say, "Hail you, you're such a sissy. You're doing that art stuff. You're this big guy and does all this art stuff." And he was just trying to get my goat, but I just agreed with him and said, "Yeah, that's what I do."
Were you as tall then as you are now?
Yeah, pretty much.
And you're what, about 6'2"?
Yeah, I was 6'2 and three quarters, but age, I think the last 50 years has brought my height down a bit.
That happens. Were you one of those kids who really knew what you wanted to be when you grew up?
Well, kind of. I was really into art, of course. It just came natural to me. And then I loved architecture. I was always looking at what Frank Lloyd Wright had done, got all of his books and everything. So that's what I went over to Pullman and Washington State University and majored in was architecture, because that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to design buildings.
Well, what did you come from a background where your parents artists or architects?
No, my mom had a bit of art in her. My dad was a builder, so I'd done a lot of building, a lot of carpentry growing up. So.
Well, that's art in its own way.
Yeah, that is, for sure. No.
Okay, so you were at Pullman studying architecture.
Yeah, I did that for 2 years, and then I just wanted to get more into the design part and more into art. So I ended up moving to Seattle and going to the Burnley School of Professional Art, which is no longer there. Went there and studied art for a year or two until I got drafted.
Drafted. And so what happened then?
Well, I got drafted to write, let's see, that would have been in 69. and instead of going and carrying a rifle, because that was right in the middle of Vietnam, I decided to take an extra year to sign up. So I picked photography, and I actually was just a photo lab technician. I just developed pictures the whole time I was in.
Well, but still, that would have given you some good skills relating to your eventual career.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, to a degree it did back then, earlier. Yeah, it did help.
Mm-hmm. And so when you got out of the service, what was next?
Oh, next was, I was married then. We got out of the service, went down to Eugene. I was going to get into landscape architecture there, but I had to wait because I wasn't a resident of Oregon. So I decided to go to Portland and go to another art school. It was a museum art school,
okay.
Which some people know. Max knows that. Max Grover was there, too, a few years after me. But I'm sure other people around town know that school.
Probably. Let me backtrack for just a second. You enlisted, and you were in a photographic lab.
Yeah.
But that wasn't in Vietnam, was it?
No. All the classes before me were going to Vietnam. You were designed to work out of the back of a truck in a war zone and develop pictures. That's what you studied to do. No, I didn't get sent there. I got sent to Germany. I was one of the few classes that got sent to Germany. So Worms, Germany.
Well, that must have been interesting.
Yeah, where Martin Luther started the Lutheran Church, and he's buried there in the big cathedral. So that is a great place. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. So in Portland, you were in which school again? The
museum art school.
Yeah,
yeah, right. It's connected to the museum. It's no longer there.
But. Okay. And did you stay in Portland for long?
Oh, yeah. I was there for 10, 15 years, something like that.
Doing what?
Landscaping with people, doing artwork. I was in the school for 4 years, so a lot of stuff on the side while I was going to school. And I worked for a publishing company and just mainly doing art on the side and then doing landscaping with my friend up in the West Hills of Portland, which is a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
Did some building then. As an artist, you never really do your art. You're doing something else. I mean, end up pounding nails is what you do.
There's a lot of that.
A lot of that, yes,
yeah,
for sure.
That's true. Unfortunately, people have to pay the rent, right?
Yeah, no, it's fun too, though. Yeah. I really enjoyed doing it. It's great.
Yeah, okay. And what prompted you to leave Portland?
Well, I'd got a divorce from my wife and had an offer up north, back in Enumclaw, to build a house with another fellow that I'd just met. He was building a swank house for a pilot. So I went up there and helped him with that, and then we got another job around there. Then we got a very large job down in Winlock, Washington, south of Chehalis a little small town. And I spent 2 years down there building that house. It was a monstrous house, and I ran the crew on that. Yeah, it was fun. I loved Winlock, nice and small, and it was great.
And then?
Oh, and then from there I went to Whidbey Island, took an art class under Libby Berry. I'd met her through some friends, so I went there, spent a summer there, took her class, one of her classes, and then she asked me to stay on and help teach the other class. I enjoyed that, learned a lot from Libby, and unfortunately she just passed away. She passed away on November 8th. I figured she had a good new one to get out.
So how did you end up in Port Townsend?
That's kind of a long story. I'd visited here when I was over in Whidbey Island with Libby. We came over on a field trip, all of us guys, and painted and drew sketches around here. Yeah, that was 84. In 85, I moved to Phoenix. I started my own business, Architectural Illustration. It's one who draws the houses before they're actually built.
Mm-hmm.
Not the blueprints, just what it's going to look like, you know, 3D view, trees and cars, etc. Stayed down there for another 8-9 years. I also became a teacher down there, Phoenix Institute of Technology. I taught architecture and architectural renderings and design and color. Did that till they closed down, along with my architectural rendering. Then moved to L.A. and got a job over there working in the movie industry, being a scenic artist.
That must have been interesting.
Yeah, that was. That was fun. I enjoyed that. It was just piecemeal, so you go from one scenic shop to another. And you're not always working, but I got pretty busy there, so I didn't have too much time to paint myself, my own work. Mind you, in all this time, I'm always painting. I'm always doing paintings of something. They might not get done real fast, but at least I'm working on them. Yeah, the scenic place was great. It was worked on movie sets and all of major studios there, and worked in Disneyland and Universal Studios. They're kind of park there
sets,
that they have.
Yeah.
And did designs for cruise liners, all the work that they have on the stages there. Branson, Missouri. We did a lot of backdrops for Branson, Missouri that was trucked to them. So it was busy and it was fun. It was in a large scale, huge scale that you worked on.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
And did you come direct from there to here?
And,
how did you get here? I'm still trying to get you up here, Michael.
trying to get here. Well, let's see. I left L.A., went back to Phoenix for about a year and a half, and found a scenic shop there and worked at that. And that was a great job because we did a lot of stuff for a big place in Tokyo that they were doing, so it was scrambling all the time to get that done. But I got in touch with an old friend of mine. I was single at the time. I got in touch with an old friend of mine I knew in Portland, and she knew Tony Larson, who owned the building where I live now, you know, where Lonza's is, that building. And we came up in 99 to check it out, and then we came back the year later when the apartment was available, and I've been there ever since. So I got here in July 2nd, 2000.
Okay. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. This show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. Today, my guest is local artist Michael Hale. He's just been telling me about the crooked, well, I shouldn't use the word crooked, the varied path he took before he got up here to Port Townsend. So you are moving to Port Townsend then. You looked at the place in 99. You came here in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to stay? What attracted you to Port Townsend?
Oh, God. But wouldn't attract people? Everybody's listening to this knows why they're here, because it, as an artist especially, you've got the mountains. When I first came here, I came across from Whidbey Island, and it was a summer day, August, not a cloud in the sky. Oh boy, you could see Rainier, you could see Baker, you could see the Olympics and all that water. It was just, oh, it was gorgeous. And I even get a little choked up thinking that, that memory, because it was just simply gorgeous. And I knew I had to be here to paint. And once I got into Port Townsend and looked at those buildings, all those brick buildings and all the telephone poles and everything else. It just, I knew I had to paint it. So that's what I started doing. I started painting it. And actually, my first 4 or 5 years, that's all I did was paint that. Well, I was writing my book, too. That was another reason to come to Port Townsend for my book.
Okay. Some of our listeners might not be familiar with your work, so we're going to describe some of it. And you started to right there when you were talking about your Port Townsend paintings, and I guess I would like to call them your Port Townsend portfolio, because you must have, what, 20 or more total you've done?
I probably got that, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and, you know, Michael does absolutely fabulous work, and I just want to give a spoiler alert. We're going to be using one of his paintings as the sort of logo for this show, Our Town. When you go online with our podcast, you'll be able to look at one of Michael's paintings. It's just a postage stamp size, but if you click on that little image, it will take you to Gallery 9, which showcases some of Michael's work, not just his Port Townsend portfolio, but other works that he's done. But let's talk about the Port Townsend paintings first. Can you describe some of them, the color I find so remarkable?
Yeah, I'd go out and photograph them always early in the morning to get that sunrise effect, because once that sun hits those bricks, it just brightens them right up. You have nice, long, dark, deep shadows that way, and that's when I'd photograph them. And I just take them back and sketch them out and paint them. God, I was cranking one out after another there back in early 2000s, and then I started selling them, go to shows. I went to the Bishop, had a show there, probably had 12, 15 paintings there. Sold almost all of them. Next year, did the same, and not quite as many sold, but quite a few sold, and then subsequently all of them have sold. Seems like everything I do eventually sells.
This is good news.
Yeah, it's good. It's not always when I want them to buy it, but they all get sold.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
The Port Townsend paintings are mainly, you know, buildings, scenes. You also have done quite a lot of painting with boats, not just set in Port Townsend, but individual. Can you talk about some of the boat paintings?
Yeah, I love boat paintings. That's another reason for Port Townsend and the wooden boats, because the wood, again, when that sun hits it, it's just this beautiful blonde color, deep, rich wood colors. And then the sails, the one I did for the 2003 Boat Festival, it was a bowsprit. It was the only horizontal painting that's ever been used for a wooden boat poster. That was great fun to do. It was a large painting. It was 5 feet by 18 inches, so very horizontal. Just Bertram Levy's boat, the Able, I used his boat for the sails, and the sails are gathered up. And it was my first real experience with painting sails, and it was fun, and it was successful, too. It was a good painting.
Now, you mentioned something there when you're talking about the size of that particular painting. I've noticed that some of your paintings are indeed quite large. How do you decide how big of a canvas to use?
That's difficult. When I was doing the ones of the town, I wanted to hang them a lot of them in a show, so I'd do them smaller so I can get more into the show. As I got older, I just wanted to do big paintings, because I've heard the saying before that big isn't necessarily better, but to me, big is impressive, especially if it's of a striking figure. It's I've done some boats like that that are large. They almost look life-size, because, of course, they're not, but just their massiveness is, it's impressive to me, and I think to other people, because I can get the dollars I ask for them on it, and they don't go for cheap, so... So they must like them.
So have any boat owners ever commissioned you to do one of their boat?
No, I talked to someone once about that, but I don't address any of those people. I've had people that buy these paintings that are the owners buy them, but they never commissioned me. They bought the paintings after I've done it. I did have someone down in Winslow on Bainbridge Island. They commissioned me to do 4 big pieces. They were huge. I was hanging in a restaurant down there now. I think the restaurant's gone or changed to something else, but they're very large paintings down there, and they're super realistic paintings, too.
Yeah, because I could see that people might want a commission of, you know, beloved boat. I have an artist friend in Canada who is a portrait painter, and she gets commissions from important people who want portraits done.
I wouldn't mind doing more of that. It's fun to do. Painted a lot of houses, believe it or not, outside of houses. I think 4 of those in town, people want paintings of their houses done, so I'll paint. In fact, I just finished one this spring. Yeah, those are fun to do, too, since I love architecture and I love painting buildings, so it's part of it.
Okay, so we've talked a bit about the Port Townsend paintings and the boating paintings. I know you also dabble in fantasy worlds, and this brings us to your book in a way, but let's talk about your painting first.
I've always wanted to create this other world someplace. This is a great place to go and visit. You know, you can create whatever you want. You're God when you paint, and you can create this world and then whatever you want in it and go hang around there. So I do that a lot. I love those paintings. I love working on them and getting these distant mountains and, you know, playing with perspective, atmospheric perspective, and dropping things way back, way, way back, and just playing with that. In fact, that's what got me into doing my book. I'd done one like that of, this is down in L.A., when I lived down there, of these kids on a ship and this old wizard. I just thought of these characters and put them on there, and then the publisher of my prints down there saw that and said, it looks like an illustration for a book, you know. So I said, oh, yeah, maybe it could be, yeah. So then I just started.
It usually goes the other way around.
Yeah,
usually there's a book and then they want it illustrated, not that there's an illustration spawn a book.
Different here. So I took the painting, which is quite large. I still have the original painting of that, and then created a story about it. And 550 pages later, what was it, 16 years later, I got the book done, so illustrated, and that's why that's one of the main reasons to come to Port Townsend, not only for the view, but I wanted the solitude just to work, because I had enough money saved up where I didn't have to work, and I just stayed in my apartment, and for the first 3 years, just wrote, and I'm not a writer. I don't read, because when I have free time, I paint or sketch, so I had to do all the writing longhand at first, and then I got a computer from Max and Sherry Grover, were my neighbors. They got a new computer, so they gave me their old computer, and then I had to relearn to type again, which I hadn't done since high school. So
what's the title of the book?
It's called Antiquius, Quest of the Mazergast. Antiquius is a name I gave to this continent. Their capital city is Atlantis, so it's one of those stories. But it's cloaked, and it's into the future.
And what is the Mazergast?
The Mazergast is the name of the ship that they travel on, a big sailing, flying ship.
And the key characters are?
Dirkin, the old wizard. Eric, he's the oldest kid. Amanda, and then there's Henry. And then they have some other friends along there. And actually the ship, the Mazergast, plays a role too, just because it's so important. And it's interesting story on that. I named it, for short, I called it the Mazzy. And this was back in 2000, 2003, when I wrote all this. And in 2005, I meet some people that introduce me to their best friend, tell me about their best friend, and her name is Mazzy. Spelt different, but I'd never heard that name before. So this is Mazzy, who lived in Australia, because these guys are Australian. So
go slow here. So you ran into these people in a pub in Port Townsend?
Right. I was down at the Old Town Tavern just one afternoon. I was sitting down there, and these two people came in, sat down at the bar, and started talking. They were Australian. They just got there. They were looking for a boat to buy. Oh, we must have spent 4 or 5 hours there talking. They told me about a good friend back in Brisbane, Australia. Anyway, by the time I got back to my place that evening, I'd got a call from Mazzy in Australia.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because it's the next day over there in the afternoon, late afternoon. So we got on the phone, just started talking, and then we did that forever. And then internet, we did that. And then I went over there, three, 4 months later for 7 weeks. And she was legal secretary, so she was busy working all day long, but I got to go lay in her pool.
That sounds nice.
Lay in her pool and drink beer, good Aussie beer. So,
yes.
That was fun. I really enjoyed that. And then she came back here, and then she went back, then she came back again, because she couldn't stay here. But then she eventually got back here about 8 months later, and then we got married about a year later. So,
so that's a very romantic story.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. It was great fun.
Yeah. I mean, just to think that you met an Australian woman by virtue of meeting some boat people in Port Townsend.
It's and they're still our best friends, and plus all the other friends I've met over there, and some of them have been over here since. So,
Are they still living down there, or are they up
there? They still live in Australia. So,
well, that's good. So, Mazzy was a legal secretary when she was in Australia. Mm-hmm. Is that what she's doing now?
Oh, no. She was so glad to give that up because she loves animals. She's always had German Shepherds in Australia. She's gone through 6 or 7 of them from birth to death. So, when she came here, she wanted to take care of animals. So, she volunteered out at the Humane Society, and then they actually hired her out there. She was one of the staff that worked there until the cuts came, and then she got laid off. And she still volunteers out there. But no, she has her own dog house sitting business, and she loves it. So she's gone most of the time. I see her probably 2-3 times a month when she's home between gigs. But we're always on the phone. And
What's her dog sitting service called?
Oh, it's called the Dog Walker.
The Dog Walker. Okay.
Not that she needs business, because she's swamped. I just saw her before I came here, and she got a call for July next year, and she didn't know if she had time for that because she's already booked next year. She's booked a year from this coming Christmas. So.
That's amazing.
Amazing. She is so good at what she does. And once the people get her, they keep her. She's had these clients for, the longest ones, probably 10 years.
Okay.
Till the dogs die, at least.
Okay. Now we're going to swing back and talk a bit more about your art.
Okay.
Now, you sell a lot of art, but like all artists, I'm sure there have been times when you found it difficult to make ends meet. Most artists have a lot of other jobs along the way, and you mentioned a couple of yours that you've done, you're still doing art. But
I still do art, and I work at Safeway. Some people might recognize me from down there. I work in produce. I'm down there 3 days a week. That was mainly to get Mazzy her benefits, because being from Australia, she didn't have enough quarters of working to get that. So
yeah, that's true.
So it was mainly for that. But I've got to enjoy it. I was going to quit after 10 years, and now I'm on my 11th year. But it's great exercise, and gets me out of the studio for a while, because I just sit or stand at that all day long. And
it's a real change of pace.
Yeah, it is. And it's great to know the people, meet the people. I know a lot of you people out there, because at least by face. And it's nice if people come up to me and compliment me on my work. I don't know who they are, but but they recognize my work, and that's nice.
So what are you currently working on?
I'm working on 2 paintings now, 30 by 40 inches. They're fairly large, for the Wooden Boat Festival. Actually, not for them. It's for that month, September. I'm the featured artist at Gallery 9. So I'll be in the window. And so it's all boat paintings is what I'm doing now. 2 big ones, and I already have 3 or 4 already there that I will have at the show, too.
How many paintings might you work at one time? I mean, do you always have a couple going, or do you just focus in on one?
I focus in on one. I have ideas for others. Like, I've got 2 of them drawn up, but I'll just finish the one up and then go to the next one.
Mm-hmm. And I know your work is sold, obviously, at Gallery 9.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other places where people can view or buy your art?
I have some at the Uptown Pub right now. That's the only place I have them hanging now. Some might recognize my rhino painting, Conversations with a Rhino Over Wine.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm the one that did that, you guys. But that's
you
that's,
have your fans for that. You really do.
Yes, I do. People often like that and comment on it. But it hasn't sold because I suppose my price is too high. But I put a lot of work in that, so... I don't do painting for money. Money is not my motivator. My motivator is to do the artwork. So therefore, I don't care if I have a lot of money. It's just enough to pay the bills and get by. So
it's always good to be able to pay your rent.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's true.
This is good. So Gallery 9, you're going to be the featured artist in September.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about Gallery 9. I don't think most of our listeners realize that it's a bit different than many of the other galleries.
Yeah, it's a great gallery. There's about 25 of us. That's 2D artists, i.e., you know, hanging paintings and photographs, and then there's 3D artists, which are sculptors, a lot of jewelry, and that sort of thing. 25 of us all together, we all take turns running the gallery, put in 12 hours a month sitting there. It's usually a four-hour stint. In fact, I go in this weekend. You know, we share it and everything. Our duties are shared, and we pay dues for it, a small amount, and we get, what do we make? Well, they take 20%. The gallery takes 20%, which is cheaper than any other gallery. Most galleries take 50%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. And they're great people. They're fun to work with. And most of them are, you know, we're not spring chicks. We're all a little bit older because we need the time to go in there.
That's true. Now, believe it or not, we're almost out of time, but I did want to go in one area we haven't talked about yet, although you were getting there. But what advice would you give a young artist starting out? You know, you have the benefit of a few years of experience. So
yeah,
what key advice you'd give them?
Well, the things that I remember I've had taught to me and also that I agree upon is just if you're going to be an artist, even a painter, what you want to do is draw. You start at the basics. You just draw. Draw everything you can. Draw still lives. Draw people. People is very important. You can do people. A lot of people, artists can't do people. So draw. Learn to draw. Learn perspective. Perspective is very important for getting your paintings to look accurate. Yeah, take a lot of drawing and draw all the time, and then start studying color. You get so tired of doing color wheels and everything else in school, but you learn color and learn to mix with them. And always just have confidence in yourself, no matter what. If it looks terrible, you can always be changed, and don't worry about it. You'll always get better. And stick to it. You just got to have a lot of tenacity and keep at it. That's what you got to do. You got to love it. You got to love doing what you're doing.
And I guess a lot of artists, their work, you know, when you see it, you think, oh, that was just exactly what he imagined. But in fact, probably that painting has evolved over time.
Yeah, they
there
do.
Are changes.
Yeah, they do. They change. Unless you have something very specific you want to do. And like if you're doing a portrait of someone, it better not change from what you want it to be. It's got to look like them. You know?
Well, true. But you could, you know, change the color of a dress.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, you can do that sort of thing. Yeah, you
the
are.
The flowers in the background or whatever.
I mentioned this before. When you're... painting, you are like God. Not that I feel like I'm God, but you're like God in the fact that you can alter it, change it. You can make your own world, anything you want.
You're creating a world.
Yep. It's
wonderful.
It's fantastic. I love it. I love it.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being a guest on the show today, Michael. You've been listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. The show's called Our Town. My guest today is Michael Hale, who's an artist. And Michael has kindly agreed to let one of his beautiful paintings, which is called Rainy Morning on Water Street, be an image that will be associated with Our Town. I think his use of color and form and just vision of Port Townsend, just wonderful. And I'm sure if you look at our website, kptc.org, you will see Rainy Morning in Port Townsend. Thanks again, Michael.
Thank you, Marianne. Appreciate it.
It's fun. I also want to thank my partner, John McPherson. He's the man in the glass booth. He's the editor who makes me and my guests sound so good. Without him, there would be a lot of ums and errs, fumbling with words. Thank you, John. I also want to thank our program director, Larry Stein, whose tireless efforts contribute mightily to making this station such an essential part of the community. And thanks to our chairman, Robert Ambrose, who's striving to up the standards at KPTZ. I also want to thank you, our listeners, for your interest and contributions to community radio. Keep listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend, for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.